It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Doug Christie thing when they fired Mike Brown. I was like, what are we doing? Like,
well, just Doug Christie had the knife in Mike Brown's back from the beginning.
Well, and Doug Christie wanted to like fight Steve Kerr in the first game one or like whoever they played. It was them or the Lakers. And I was like, what is going on here? It was whole thing very odd. By the way, shout out Mike Bibby, Kings legend.
Yeah.
Sac State head coach now, Mike Bibby.
Since when did Sac State get all of this NIL money? They're like throwing things around left and right. I'm not hating. I'm asking.
They must have had a good donor. I don't know.
Kyle Madsen,
the ESPN 1320.
They also almost had Mike Vick as their head football
coach.
Well,
that's what I was going with that. Like, I thought they were flirting with Michael Vick.
That would have been sick, by the way. Early 2000s on line
How
one.
Do we
Mike
even
Vick
know if Mike
and
Vick's
Mike
a good
Bibby.
Coach.
We don't. I don't know if Mike Bibby's
we,
a good
we
coach.
Don't.
I remember
don't.
Mike Bibby, he was trying to ride on those Heatles there late. Remember that? He was trying to be,
when Mike Bibby showed up and he was like instantly more jacked than everyone in the league, that's when we all started thinking about Mike
Bibby. No, you know, he's a little, as you mentioned, the screw loose. When you're bald by choice, like Mike Bibby was, that's when you know. There's next level of intensity there. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 3 hours down, one more to go here. We've been talking a lot of Golden State Warriors. Big win. They're 2-2 on this road trip, but the biggest game, possibly the rest of the season outside of the last game, if it is big against the Clippers, but it's tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies. No Jonathan Kuminga potentially. No Gary Payton. He's going to be reevaluated on Thursday, I should say. Ja Morant's back. Jaren Jackson's back. What are you going to get there? New head coach? Are they going to get that new head coach momentum, interim head coach momentum? I don't know what to make of it. I just know it's a huge game.
Zach Edey thing. You brought that up earlier, and now my head's been...
Purdue.
I don't even... What exactly did Zach Edey do to Draymond?
Well, no. Remember last year, it was during the championship game, Draymond, or maybe it was the game prior in the Final Four.
He was
four,
tweeting about him.
He tweeted, let me pull it up right now.
Yeah. Because out of nowhere, I was like, I didn't see this on my rivalry card.
Zach Edey.
You know, like... I don't know what.
No,
he was so upset with him.
Let me see if I can find it right here. All right. I'm pulling it up right now. Right. Okay. Here it is. So this was April 8th, 2024. So literally almost coming up a year to the day.
A year ago.
Job well done, 35. So this is the opposition. You did your job tonight. It was him that made Edey quit with about 19 minutes to go. In the second half.
Draymond talking about others.
This
quitting.
Was UConn versus Purdue, by the way. So it's 35 on UConn. Yeah. There was a turnover, and I saw Edey body language walking back. He was done. Now, rewatch the game from that point on. By the way, I think Zach Edey had like an incredible like box score in that. He was the only one doing anything, I think, for Purdue.
He's a good pro.
He's been good. But that's where it stems from. So when they were going at it, like Zach Edey's like, what the, something about these non-American players that Draymond likes to, like that's the Goberts, right?
He's
the
Captain Buzelis. America.
Nurkic.
Draymond representing America and the global fight against bigs from elsewhere is not something I have.
So you got to circle that matchup tomorrow. Funny. Zach Edey. Who's going to be have the size advantage
and
a lot in
Desmond
that game?
Desmond Bane always goes at us, and Jaw always goes at us.
Jaw's back. He's going to be Jaw.
Where is Jaw?
You love that one.
I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite sounds. So, let me give you some Jimmy Butler versus Memphis, because our good friend Leroy always likes to text in.
In Oakland?
Yeah. Now, going back to 2021, all right? Going back to 2021, he had 28 against them, 27 against them, then only 10 in 2021. Then in 2022, he played one game against Memphis. This is the Jimmy Butler with Miami. He had 18. 2023, Jimmy Butler had 23. 2023, the second time, 15. 2024, which was last year, 15 against him. So I don't know what to make of that. No. It's not that big of a sample size.
No.
It does look like that he gets a lot of assists and rebounds. He fills it up. I don't know. He says they don't play. He doesn't play well against Memphis. We will see.
This whole team's new. Like I'm very curious to see again this team up against this player, because I know what I'm going to get from Stephen Curry. Like he showed out in that series. I knew what I was going to get from Draymond Green. He was showing out in that series, and obviously Jordan Poole a big part of it. Then a couple years ago, we're talking about that playoff series in that run in the second round after you beat the Nuggets. You played that Memphis Grizzlies team. There were some injuries baked into it. Obviously, the Dylan Brooks dirty foul hurts Gary Payton. He fractures his arm, and then you obviously have the John Morant injury that changed everything. The Warriors are already up 2-1 in that series, I want to say, and then that changed everything. The game was over. Or the series is over at that point, and then they take on the Mavericks, win that, and the rest is history. They win the whole damn thing against the Boston Celtics. Having said all that, I'm looking at Jimmy Butler in one of these next four games, but if he has one tomorrow, in that game, in that arena, what do they call it, the Grindhouse, if he has the Miami Heat Jimmy Butler performance finally, that's going to give me so much confidence in what this team can do, and I think for a fan base that is craving, I know you are, Joe Shasky, you've been saying it all show long. You need to see Jimmy have one of these games.
I just want to see one of the signature Jimmy playoff-type performances.
Why haven't we seen it?
Well, I think he's acquiesced to a lot of the guys on the floor, which I get. Like, he's in a new environment. The offense kind of flows around Steph Curry. You don't want to, you know, be the square in the
triangle peg in the round.
You know, you're trying to fit in. Like, I understand all that, but I think there's a time and a place to pick and choose your spots. And I'd really like to see him first and fourth quarter. That's what I'm hyper-focused on. How do the Warriors start this next game against Memphis? How do they close this next game? We saw it in the Spurs game. Starting the game, it was just like the floodgates were wide open. And
they weren't missing.
Here comes the storm and the raining down of three-pointers. They need to get off to a great start. And I feel like that really fueled their defense. So I really want to see that exact same thing play out in this one. The worst thing that could happen is you let Ja feel comfortable and the crowd's going crazy and you're fouling and you're letting them get to the free throw line and they're setting up their defense. They need to start fast tomorrow.
They're going to be in their second game on the back end of a back-to-back. They're going up against the defending champs tonight. Yes, they're going to be at home for both of them, so it's not like it's a travel on the back end of back-to-back.
Go Boston!
But you're a big Boston fan. That was elite talk through a yawn right there. I want to give you credit for that.
Well, sometimes the 9 o'clock hour.
That was elite talking through a yawn right there. That's some of the best in the business right there. But I'll say this. When you look at Jimmy Butler and his performances, outside of the ball distribution, which has been really good, I'm not poo-pooing that, his IQ, his floor game as a floor general, his defense, I need to see like more than 13, 14 shot attempts. Can we get to one where he's like in the 20s? Can we get like, I want to see him be selfish, as you're saying, for one of these, and selfish like in this grand scheme of find your shot, Jimmy. Like, hey, maybe Steph doesn't have his. Go up, do your thing. We'll all get on board. You just do your thing. He has the autonomy now to do that. Like, people have already said, multiple players, the coaching staff, they have all trust in Jimmy to do his thing now. So it's just up to him to remove the training wheels. Because I'm going back to that game. against the Miami Heat, and Anthony Slater joined us after the game, and Anthony Slater covers the team for the Golden State, for the Athletic, covers the Warriors for us here at 95.7 The Game. He does an incredible job. We have him on each and every week, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And even he said, he's like, yeah, you know, Jimmy is passive in that game. That's kind of who Jimmy is. I was like, really? I don't think of Jimmy as a passive player. I don't think of him being this guy that passes the ball and defers a lot.
Yeah.
When I think of Jimmy Butler, I think of a rambunctious, get out of my way, I'm going to put the team on my back player. Maybe I'm viewing it just through those playoff runs and the playoff lens, but that's how I'm viewing it. And in the regular season, does he tend to coast? He can't be coasting these next four games. That is something I know for a fact. He cannot, and not saying he has been, but starting tomorrow, like, this is going to tell me a lot about this team and their mindset. And Steve Kerr talked about it. Brandon Pajemski's talked about it. The young players have talked about it. They want to test themselves against the best in the West, and everyone's saying they've had a cupcake schedule so far. Well, this isn't cupcake. Now, these next four games are not going Kevin Durant, OKC, cupcake. No. We're going to find out everything about these teams starting tomorrow. And it starts with Jimmy Butler, as far as I'm concerned. And I want to ask the fans at 888-957-9570, who needs to step up the most tomorrow in this game against the Memphis Grizzlies? Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Pajemski? Is it Moody? Is it Draymond Green? Who needs to step up the most in these playoff-type matches, as we're calling them, coming up here?
They've got a bunch of random guys that have given the Warriors fits over the years, like the Luke Kennards of the world, Gigi Jackson,
Jackson.
I know, and it feels like every time the Warriors play, I'm like, Brandon Clark. I like Jalen Wells. You know, I think he's a solid player. They have some guys on their team that give us fits, and that's not even including the top dogs. You know, which is obviously John Morant, JJJ, and Desmond Bane. Those are their top dogs.
I like Santi Aldama, who always
Aldama is nice.
I feel like he always scores against the Warriors, too, every single time.
That's everybody.
And this, well,
You've got a little bit of size.
The Jimmy Butler era, it's been a little bit of a shift. But to your point, Scottie Pippen Jr. has been playing well. That's another guy, like a young guy that has size and athleticism.
They've got players.
Yes, absolutely.
They have a good nucleus.
They got this guy, Jay Huff, who looks like he's this big, tall, white guy. He looks like he's a plumber. Quite frankly, just the way you look at it, he doesn't look athletic, but he's got the three ball. And again, size, like he can shoot and rise up over you. I'm talking about Quentin Post, another guy that I'm looking at. And this specifically in this matchup, where a team that has a Zach Edey, has Jaren Jackson, some of these size problems, like Quentin, you're going to have to hold your own against some of these big boys. Can he do that on the defensive end? That's where I'm looking at, because you're mentioning you're apprehensive about this team in their size matchups. Come playoff time.
They need some signature wins against some bigs.
Starts tomorrow.
Yeah, right? I agree.
That's why I'm looking at Quentin Post to have a big game offensively. Can he hold himself defensively? That's what I'm looking at.
There's no doubt about it. And I just wonder what their starting lineup's going to be with Jaren Jackson Jr. out there. Do you want to get him out of the lane and put Quentin Post into the starting lineup? Mm. Do you start small and try to just go offense with ball movement? I wonder what their tinker is. Is Kuminga available?
Well, this is what they had in their game, and this was their last game against the Lakers on Saturday.
No, I'm talking about the Warriors.
No. The Grizzlies matchup. You're saying what are they going? I'm saying this is what the Grizzlies threw out there against the Lakers. Yeah. Obviously, different team, but just to give you an idea, they had Jaren Jackson Jr., Jalen Wells, Zach Edey for the size, obviously, Ja Morant, and then Desmond Bane. We'll see what they do against the Celtics tonight. That's going to shift, and then maybe what they'll do against the Warriors. Do the Warriors go small? Do they go big? Do they do the same lineup as we are alluding to that they're undefeated with? Do they go small with Pod? Maybe they counter that and they go big, and then maybe do you toss in Quentin Post there instead? Do you throw Pods off the bench? We'll see. There's a lot baked into. We're up against
it. You got to attack Ja.
Yep.
So if he's going to guard Pods has got to be a scorer.
Yes.
He's got to get to his spots.
I want to pick this conversation up on the other side. Plus, the Giants played this past week. And by the way, it was opening day in baseball for those of you who forgot. I didn't, because the Giants looked, dare I say, really good. They won a series in Cincinnati. They didn't have any sloppy baseball. Zero errors for him. That is... Like Matt Chapman, Willie Adames, Bob Melvin and crew. I'm excited. Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray got a little shaky. That's okay. Elliot Ramos looks like an all-star again. I want to talk some more San Francisco Giants baseball. We'll do that. Plus put a bow on this Golden State Warriors talk. 888-957-9570 is the number. And it's going to be brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow.
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
They've won two in a row now after losing the last two, or the first two, I should say, on the road to start off their six-game road trip. So they're 2-2 on their road trip, finishing with two against the Grizzlies and then the Lakers before heading back home on Friday against the Denver Nuggets. So a lot of big games happening right now in different points of the season and different expectations for the Warriors and the Giants, obviously. And I wasn't there, Joe, on Thursday. Obviously, shout out Mark Grandy for holding it down when I was gone. Spring break started early for young Benjamin, so I had that. I was taken care of. And spring break, obviously, for those who are just joining us. I'm sure a lot of you parents are out there. You had to take some time off, or you guys are doing some fun stuff. Hopefully the rain doesn't hamper that too much, and you're going to be dealing with that, Joe, when LJ is getting a little bit older, when you're going to start doing the spring break and you guys are going to go on a trip or do something, right? I'm finding this out as I'm older, or as I'm getting older and the kids are getting older. Like, when you're a kid, spring break's great, right? It's like, oh, awesome. I get to do whatever I want. I get to stay home. And then if you have parents that are either not working from home or they're working out, it's like, yeah, we got to figure out what the bleep to do with this kid because I can't watch him and we got to do something. It's not summertime and it's that weird 5, 6, 7, 8, like, they're not old enough to stay home on their own yet, so you got to figure out something for them to do. So we're doing that, obviously, but I'm going to be picking up Benny and Nora when I get off here. We'll go do something. I say all that to say maybe we'll watch some baseball tonight and watch some Giants and Astros. And I'm actually, again, saw me if you've heard this one before, I'm actually excited about to watch the Giants. I'm actually excited. Oh, and by the way, real quick, to put a bow, and I'll let you talk here, I promise, Joe. I'm very long-winded right now. Bonte texted the group chat. We've all seen it. Bonte Hill, host for NBC Sports Bay Area. He'll dabble in some Giants as well, I'm sure, in a pre- and post-game for the Warriors, obviously, and as still 95.7 The Game host. He texted us this during the break. Draymond plays 5 of the next 8, and Butcher is pulling out the credit card to the House of Prime Rib Bet. So for those of you who don't know, the House of Prime Rib Bet was Draymond Green playing in a certain amount of games.
65
games. And if he plays in that amount, Joe Shasky will hand over the wallet, hand over the credit card, and take Bonte, Spadoni, and Lubman
to
the Prime Rib. We amended this. We did the amendment.
Just Bonte.
It's the whole show.
No.
Right, Sam?
All the whole show. Spadoni, myself, Carter, all the fill-ins.
Yeah, now, too. Yep, that's right. So you're taking all of us out?
Carter has enough money to pay for all of us to buy the House of Prime.
Well, then make the bet with him next
exactly.
time.
Exactly. All the more that you invite him, and maybe he covers some of the drinks. So there you go. You bring him over here. But I say all that to say, if Draymond plays in 5 of the next 8 games, Joe, you got to pony up that wallet. You feel good about it, though? You feel good about that?
I hope he does. I want him to play in that many games because that means we're probably winning and we're probably playing well. Want him to win. And then in 2027, if that ends up happening, I will buy you guys that dinner.
In 2027?
Yeah, that one dinner plate that you guys can all share amongst the
four
of you.
That's in 2 years.
What?
2027 is in 2 years.
I'm deferring my payment like the Dodgers.
Oh,
what's wrong with
that? Stop. You can't do that.
What do you mean?
It's not deferring either. It's deferring.
Deferring? Doesn't matter?
It's not Darfur.
I'm willing to die on this hill of Darfur.
What was that company called? Darfur, right? They're the region in Sudan. Remember that? No? Anyone? No? It's all right. We're off the wagon right here. Giants, opening day thoughts for you. Like, I know you're excited. I know Sam's excited. There's a lot of excitement around this. And I think that a lot of people are still hesitant about the, you know, where this season can go for this team, and it's early. So you're just enjoying what you're seeing. You're watching good baseball. I think that's where I'm going to start. I watched some good, clean baseball over the weekend, and I can't say that about this team the last few seasons.
I watched this team actually utilize their speed, which is why you gave Jung-Hoo Lee all this money. You know, he is causing havoc on the base pass with little choppers and beating those out, stealing bags, getting into pitchers' heads when it comes to, you know, them coming set and being able to deliver strikes. Like, there's a whole cat and mouse game that's going on right now in baseball with base runners that I just love. It's such a throwback game to what we were accustomed to. For a long, long time, everybody was risk averse to sending someone. And now it's like, if you're not trying to steal bases, you are literally leaving runs on the table. And to see this team play small ball is something I appreciate. Oh, the bunt is mathematically stupid and analytics is the smart way to play the game. They bunted over Fitzgerald the other day. I can't remember the last time that they bunted a guy over who was the leadoff hitter, got a single, and they had their leadoff hitter, okay, in the lineup, their leadoff hitter, not to lead off an inning, bump that guy to second base. I cannot remember the last time that they've done that. And then he steals third. And then a simple fly ball brings that guy in. So it's home runs and strikeouts. No. Sack flies and putting the ball in play still really matters. And then to see this team do the smart substitutions. Not just platooning because that guy hits 3 percentage points higher or whatever. Like, we're committed to playing Matos. They played him in 2 consecutive games. You know, they're committed to the young players. Like, that felt so good. Seeing the double play balls from Willy Adames and Tyler Fitzgerald, they clearly look like they've been doing a lot of work around the bag together. I saw multiple variations of flips. I saw Willy Adames coming across that bag strong, like it was the 1980s, trying to take out a runner. I loved it. It just, to me, the way they're playing ball is a brand of ball that I really appreciate. And then Verlander, we haven't even talked about. Verlander still got it.
Yeah. No, well, I'm looking at those top 3 pitchers, and I know Robbie Ray ended up being a little shaky, but he was balling prior to that pitch clock. You know, meltdown, I don't know what you want to call it, but he got shook from the pitch clock yesterday. He got mad, he got upset. And what we know about pitchers, you ruin anything mentally, go one way or the other. Either they're going to rebound and bounce back, or they're just going to completely melt down. And, it led to a meltdown.
They're counting down the pitch clock to Ray, and walks him on 4. The violation could well be living in his head. And here comes Bob Melvin. There goes Robbie Ray.
By goes Robbie Ray, who lasted 5 1/3 inning. He did get the win, though, yesterday. 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 Ks, and a walk for Robbie Ray. But I look at those top 3 there. Webb, Verlander, and Robbie Ray. It's a lot on Verlander staying healthy, and again, he's older, so like I think you can bake that in. By the way, you guys see Max Scherzer already hurt
Well, he's got this blister thing. Yeah, he said he couldn't go more than four innings without the blister flaring up.
Which, again, I'm not laughing at it, but in any other sport, like, you get paid millions of dollars. Like, in football, you're playing through lacerated spleens. In basketball, you're dealing with tendonitis in your knees. You're dealing with chronic injuries in your calves and your strength. Blister. I'm out for a few weeks, guys.
But it's funny.
It's funny.
If you can't grip the ball with the seams and you can't get appropriate spin, you're literally a net negative for your team. You're throwing cookies out there.
Imagine going home and you're like, honey, why aren't you at work today? I got a blister on my hand. I can't do it. I know. I hear you. I laugh about it every single time. And they can't throw it straight. And a lot of these knuckle curves, like the different throwing motions, it messes you up. I get it. I don't have hugely calloused hands, but I understand that you can't do what you're supposed to do with blisters. I was just mentioning the Max Scherzer thing more so because that guy just always seems to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I bring that to say he's an older player. Justin Verlander, an older guy. He's got to stay healthy for this team. Exactly. That's going to be baked into part of it. But I really like those three starters, though, to start it off. That's two Cy Young guys and a guy in Logan Webb that's been a part of a lot of Cy Young conversations. I'll throw those three up against anyone else in Major League Baseball.
So we get Jordan Hicks today against
Astros. We'll see with Hicks. We'll see.
He's just a hometown reunion for him. He's from the area. Look, this is what happens with Hicks. He's going to look good to start the season off, I hope. And by about May, June, he's going to run out of bullets, and figuratively speaking, and they're going to end up putting him back in the bullpen. But this is where I think they do have some depth to start the year. I don't know how it's going to translate as we go throughout the year because things happen, and who knows. They've got Hayden Birdsong just sitting there waiting in the wings. So that's number one. He's going to be in the bullpen. He hasn't pitched at all. I want to see him maybe just take... I don't know. I don't know how they work him in. They got to find a way to work him in. He needs to get his innings.
Are you surprised he wasn't listed as a starter?
Yeah, I think he should be. I think Jordan Hicks is the guy that clearly should be in the bullpen. But whatever. They're gonna start Hicks there.
Is that more of a money thing, you think? Just the money allocation that you already have with Hicks? But it's a new regime, so like I don't even want to like use that. And Hicks
I don't love Hicks as a starter.
Ideally, you'd like him to be like
he's a bullpen guy.
He's a max 6-7.
Yeah, I want him to just throw max effort for an inning.
And he wants that. Proved to be pretty good at that.
He is good coming out of the
pen. Yes.
But he wants to be a starter, so whatever. But they have Carson Wisenhunt in AAA, who has looked good the last couple of times that he's been out there. And then, obviously, you've got Kyle Harrison and some other pitching arms down there. They have arms. I'm watching this team this weekend, and I say, all right, left field looks like it's Ramos's to ride or die with this year, no matter what.
He looks great.
He does.
Ramos looks like he's picking up that all-star season he had last year, and it was not Fugazi. And that was one of your question marks heading into the season. It's like,
absolutely.
Can this guy, you talk about the ifs of a team, and if they can do these, they could be a playoff team. Yeah, that's a big if he could replicate a season last year. So far, he's been doing that. Three games, but...
He looks great.
Looks great.
And to me, it's the approach. Two-strike approach, pulling, going the other way. Like, he's doing it all. He just looks so balanced. He's going to strike out a lot, and that's going to drive people crazy.
That's Major League Baseball.
But if you hit 25 to 35 home runs, who cares?
It's 2025. Guys are striking out. That's just, it is what it is.
Sure. But there is something to be said for, like, this team can't have 150 strikeouts up and down the
lineup. I'm not saying he's going to be Adam Dunn. I don't want that. But,
no.
Yes.
Yeah.
His average...
But it is baked into it. Yes. Yeah. You don't have a lot of weak contact hitters. So, like, Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be your center fielder every day. Now, I hope he can stay healthy. Because I'm very encouraged after one weekend that, like, he's kind of figuring things out, using his speed. That's important to me. And then right field, hey, we're going to go with Yasin Matos until otherwise. We're going to figure out, play the hot hand. Maybe you're playing the matchups. I'm fine with that. Fitz is your second baseman. I love that. We're going to ride or die with him for now. And we'll get to first base in a second. Shortstop, Willy Adames, no doubt about it. He's got to start hitting. I love the defense. Chapman, that's my guy. Behind the plate, love Patrick Bailey. First base. I know it's going to be Bryce Eldridge at some point down the line.
Maybe
he'll be the DH. I don't know. I think that and right field are the two spots I'm looking at. And I'm saying if I can find an impact right-handed bat and they could be my right fielder, my DH, my first baseman, one of those three spots, if anyone is available who can hit 30 to 35 home runs, you got to go get that guy. And if that guy's Vladdy Guerrero Jr. or whomever on the market, Luciano, who's in AAA, Harrison.
Luciano's looked good. I've seen some highlights.
Maybe it's Matos. I don't know. Some combination of guys. Maybe it's Wade Mechler, who's still out there.
Wade.
Like, whatever you have some ammunition now with players. I'm telling you, the Giants are one legit bat away from being in that wild card mix.
From being in the wild card mix. Okay.
From what? Like, you gotta crawl before you can walk.
That's a big step.
You gotta walk before you can run.
Exactly. Well, I say that. You gotta start doing a trend before you just start having a couple games here. That couple games turns into a couple series. A couple series turns into a couple weeks. That's what I mentioned earlier. That's a trend. I can get on board with the trend. My eyeballs are going to start being fixated on the TV. A trend starts turning into an identity for a few months. And once we find out the identity of this team, that's when, come July, come trade deadline, that's when you could go all in or try to trade for, and again, using the analogy, swing for the fences for a big name guy. I'm with you on that. If they're in the hunt at all, shout out the hunt for Red October. If they're doing that, like, yes, if Buster Posey, is he going to be able, because the one thing that was so frustrating for me, Joe, outside of the Chris Bryant thing, like Farhan in the era, like you just knew he wasn't doing anything.
No.
Like they were going to be mired in mediocrity.
But to be fair.
They weren't going to do anything.
Yeah, but to be fair, Jung Hoo Lee was his guy.
Yeah.
And Matt Chapman, even if it was for a year, was his guy.
Yeah.
So I want to give him credit there. Fitzgerald, he drafted.
I'm giving Buster Posey credit now for the Matt Chapman because he put his money where his mouth is when it came to that guy.
Sure.
He recognized the leadership and wanted to keep him.
I want to give Farhan some credit here. Like, he did kind of construct the base of the roster. Yaz was his guy. You know, like Matos and Ramos, I believe, were going back to when they were 16 years old. I believe they were Bobby Evans signings. But I think Farhan gets credit for the development.
Sure. And Chapman, I'm also going to give Bob Melvin credit for that. Just his relationship with him.
Fair.
Going back to the Oakland days. Like, that was a big part of the sell job, I'm sure. Bo Melvin.
Bailey's his guy.
Yeah.
Farhan's. You know, so I don't want to pretend like it's all Buster Posey. But I would say that, like, look, you're saying, what's the identity of this team? Here's the identity that they want. Now, whether it plays out this way, I don't know. We're going to play hard nose, great defense on the infield. We're going to showcase our speed with Fitz and Jung Hoo Lee, and we're going to do situational hitting, and we're going to hope that the Adames, Ramos, Chapman core hits 25 jacks a piece, and we are in the mix, and we're going to pitch really well. That's what they're hoping. It is very similar to the recipe during the Bochy era. Like, this is a brand of baseball I like. Their infield right now, I think it's the best infield they've had, going back to Panic, Duffy, Crawford, and Belt on the infield. I think this is their best defensive infield since then.
Bob,
10 years.
Bob Melvin, you mentioned Tyler Fitzgerald's stolen base. Bo Mel, talk to how important that was.
I loved it.
It gets us into an at-bat where we don't have to get a hit. Pretty slow times to the plate, so we were pretty confident he could do it. Just got in there, but ended up being a big run at the time and then a big hit after that.
Ideally, with his speed, and again, he has to have the contact with it, and he has to, and he jumped onto the scene last year, and he looked like Barry freaking Bonds, Jason Giambi, Mark McGwire. He was insane. He wasn't going to keep up that pace. Absolutely not. Is there a way he can play himself into a leadoff spot with that speed? Like, as a contact hitter, like, I know it sounds crazy right now.
I don't love Lamont Wade Jr.
He's
0 for 10 or whatever, 0 for 9.
I'm kind of saying that. It's early. Again, it's three games, but the sample size is the sample size. I'm not liking what I'm seeing there.
Joe, if you believed him as a hitter, would you have bunted? You know, I like that they bunted. Exactly. Believe me, I like that they bunted. But, like, if you thought, if it was Willy Adames, is Willy Adames bunting over Fitzgerald late in that game for one more run? No, he's not. Exactly. So I think the manager's telling you the confidence he has in the at-bats right now of Lamont Wade. It's early.
It's early.
But I think first base is clearly first base DH, and then right field's a question mark right now. They're going to go Yaz and Matos, but those are the spots for me that can be upgraded via a trade.
I'm just looking at the NL West right now. It's always going to be a gauntlet. It's early in the season, but you already have two of the teams. The top dogs are undefeated. Dodgers are 5-0. Padres are 4-0. And they got the D-backs right there. They're 2-2. They split their series against the Cubbies. And they got the Rockies. The Rockies stink. They're 1-2.
Did you see the play by Swanson over the weekend?
Yes, I saw a home run that he had. Did he have a sick play was it a bad play?
There was a chopper, a guy going from second to third on a chopper. He's running. And
Swanson fakes the throw over to first base and then beats the guy who took a huge turn because he was going to score on the throw trying to go. It was just a hell of a play. Chapman made a similar play yesterday.
Dansby's always been really, defensively, he's always been
stud.
Stud, yeah. Stud. You can go back to the Atlanta days. It's just the bat, the inconsistent bat.
But he's a situational player. I really like him. He's a high IQ guy. So I think that's what the Giants' hallmark is. Like yesterday was another one, and I think Bob Melvin's a lot of credit. He went to Doval yesterday instead of Walker. Did Walker get up in Saturday's game? I didn't see him warming up. Did he warm up in Saturday's game? They went to Doval to close out yesterday's game instead of Walker, which I am here for. I told you guys, I want Doval to get another chance in the ninth at some point. It is no knock on Walker at all.
I got Lou Trevino a couple times. A's legend, Lou Trevino. Sweet Lou.
I like Trevino.
You do now.
Here's what I love. Here's what I loved. They had Huff catching that game, but in the ninth inning, they subbed back in Patty Bailey to be the catcher for Doval, and it was Ellie De La Cruz to start the inning. And he went bang, bang, two strikes right away. And it's just the whole aura around Camilo Duval looks different. And Ramos made a hell of a play in left field.
It was so crazy. Again, we're recapping, if you're just joining us, recapping the weekend for the San Francisco Giants. It was a fight. They won a series. We'll take that to open up the season. You're going to take on the Houston Astros. Very interesting matchup here at the Houston Astros. I don't know what to make of that team yet quite either. It's been a consensus down year in the AL West, and some people aren't picking the A's to win that division. They just did split the series against the Mariners. Obviously, you have the Texas Rangers, who are just a year removed from winning a World Series. A lot of people like them to come out of the West there. So, two Western teams going at it. Old NL West rivalry, if you will. Obviously, I always think of the NL West Astros is when Matt came at the perfect game against them. That's when I always think of the Astros going up against the Giants.
Altuve was in that lineup.
He was. He's the last player that was a part of that.
Yeah.
He's old. Old man
that
Altuve.
Team lost 100 and I went through that lineup the other day. What'd you make of the whole torpedo bat thing over the weekend?
Have you been
paying attention?
Talking about big storylines. That was the biggest because the Yankees had like a bajillion home runs over the weekend on Saturday. I think it was Volpe, Judge. Everyone was hitting bomb skis. They are the Bronx Bombers after all. And then they went to the bats, and everyone's like, oh, the bats, look at these bats, they're these torpedo, and then the Photoshop's of them. So if you don't know what a torpedo bat is, I'm going to try to explain it as best as I can in an audio medium without having showing it to you. Maybe Joe Shasky should, because you're the guy that is all into the bats, you're all into the gloves, into everything. So explain to me, explain to the people, I know what they look like.
So a normal baseball bat,
thank you.
On a normal baseball bat, before we talk about there's many different things, right? You see it kind of tapers upwards. So you have a handle on the bat.
Sure.
It gets thin where you put your hands,
sure.
And then it tapers or widens out to the barrel point.
Yep.
Okay? And then the sweet spot cannot be, the rules are, it has to be one piece of wood. It doesn't matter what type of wood, essentially, as long as it's one piece.
Maple.
It could be ash, it could be birch,
redwood?
It could be maple, it could be whatever you want, right?
Pine?
For a long time, nobody used maple until Barry Bonds came onto the scene. But you've got different, I would say, knob types. You've got different barrel types. Some are more balanced, so when you swing it, you feel the weight evenly. Some are more end loaded. There's different specs. It's like a driver in golf, okay? Some are cupped, meaning we carve a little out of the top to save some weight, and we put a little down at the bottom. There's so many different ways.
Okay, so how do these ones with the Yankees look?
So imagine a normal barrel gets to about 2 5/8 all the way through and stays about that length from where it evens out on the barrel till the end of the barrel.
It looked a little chunky to me, like that I'm more normally used to seeing. It looked like almost, I'm trying to explain it the best I can, almost like a pipe that gets plugged a little bit, gets backed up.
There's a rubber
there's
a rubber thing that you would put inside of a clogged drain.
Yes.
Okay, it's called the balloon. And
there
all my
go.
Plumbers that are out there. And it's like, it looks almost ovally.
Shout out Flowing Water
so
Plumbing and Drain.
As I hold up this water bottle, imagine this is the handle part where the bat would be.
Yes.
So instead of it looking like this on one end, where it's totally normal and even, it's got both ends where it kind of tapers.
And people were freaking out about these because they're not very common. At least, well, you've seen them, but for an entire lineup, basically, to have them. And it's the Yankees.
It wasn't the entire lineup.
Well, sorry.
It was a couple guys using Volpe's bat, which they've been experimenting with for quite some time. Victus, which is a newer bat maker, makes the bat. And so a couple of guys, Jazz Chisholm.
But they were hitting home runs.
Yes.
Those guys were hitting home runs. I didn't say the entire lineup. Sorry.
Players throughout baseball have experimented with different kinds of bats. A couple years back, I saw Goldschmidt out of nowhere have a bat that had this bottom handle thing on it. tournament where it was more weight distributed to the bottom to counterbalance it. Now everyone's selling these Camwood bats all over the internet. So this is nothing new. Some players like a specific feel, the heaviness of the bat. You know, they'll use one type their entire career. Right? I use a C-131 or whatever it is. That's a specific spec. Some guys are trading bats left and right, always trying to tinker and screw around with things. Everyone is unique. Everyone is different. Some people are signed to Louisville. Some people are signed to Victus. There's Baum bats, B-A-U-M. There's Birchman bats. There's all these different bat types. And now you can get really specific. This particular design is a little unique, but it reminded me of an aluminum bat my dad had in the basement from the 70s because it ballooned like that and then tapered off. So look, it's all the rage now. Anyone can use it. I'm sure that everyone's all up in arms. Had the White Sox busted this out, one would be saying anything.
I'd rather be the White Sox. Remember that drop? 888-957-9570. We're talking takeaways of opening weekend in baseball. Some of your takeaway thoughts of the Giants. Like, do you look at that series and say, you know what? Maybe I can start watching this team. Maybe I'll go back to the ball yard. Like, maybe, like, this is a team I can get excited about. The common sentiment I kept seeing, whether it was from you, whether it was on social, whether it was from Sam, it looks and feels like a different team. Because it is a different team, but the product itself looked different to you. Did you feel like, can you say this is a completely different team?
It looked buttoned up.
Three games, though.
No, but of course it's three games, but that's all we have to go on. So we're analyzing. They looked buttoned up.
Okay.
And in the areas where they were the most sloppy, you could see it almost every night. Like base running. How many years in a row have I said this is one of the worst base running teams I've ever seen? That's Little League stuff. When you're a poor base running team, whether it's speed, instincts, first step, pick the going first to third, you know, like putting pressure on the pitcher to actually throw over. This team was one of the worst base running teams.
Jung-Hoo Lee last year.
I've ever seen.
Jung-Hoo Lee last year, not to cut you off, looked like he's never on the base paths before. I was like, this guy played. Baseball professionally.
Exactly.
Korea. Why did it look like that? Like Tyler Fitzgerald at times, like overrunning bases, like little things like that were just killing them.
Yes. So they've upgraded that. They just look more buttoned up. And because of the lineup they're putting out there, Chapman's a great base runner. Fitz is a great base runner. And Jung-Hoo Lee is figuring it out defensively, and offensively in terms of his base running, but he's got raw speed. Yaz has always been a solid base runner. You know, do they have guys that are high IQ players running the bases defensively? Just go up the middle. Jung-Hoo looks more comfortable in center. Bailey's obviously rock solid behind the plate.
Still waiting for that Oracle Park start for Jung-Hoo. That's going to tell me the story because he was struggling out there last year.
I agree, but Fitz looks really good at second. He's better defensively than Tyro Estrada. It is what it is. Donovan Walton or whoever the hell you put there at second base the last few years.
Donnie Barrow?
Adames has better than whoever you had at shortstop last year. And then Chapman's a stud at third base. First base is still sketch for me, but Wade's made plays there.
He has, and Lamont, again, it's the bat for me, just setting the tone for, like, you need to be getting on base. Guy's not getting on base right now, and he's leading off, and it's not setting a great tone. But again, go 2-1 over the weekend, stack some wins, get some breathing room early on here. Like, get a win tonight. Like, set the tone for these series. I thought it was such a huge tone setter on opening day in Cincinnati to come back the way you did to win that game in the fashion that you did, Joe. I know you were fired up. I knew you and Grandy were fired up about it, but it's carrying those on each and every series. Like, that's great that you did it against the Reds. Do it against the Astros. Do it against the Mariners. Do it against the Reds again. And then, like, I'm looking at the schedule coming up. It's not like it's going to be easy. Not that it's ever easy. Like, the way you're playing all the teams right now, it's so early. I don't know what to make of any teams right now. The Astros, the Mariners, then you got the Reds, then you got the Yankees on the road in the Bronx. You got the Phillies. Like, there's going to be some opportunities here early on in the season to put your stamp on it that they weren't able to do in the last couple of years. And it was just such a mediocre, like, one step forward, two steps back is how we talked about the team. Kind of like how we talked about the Warriors a little bit.
Yeah.
Just mired in mediocrity. So I want them to start setting the tones early and often in some of these games because I just think it exudes confidence. Kind of like we were talking about with the Spurs game yesterday, right? Setting a tone with some of these young players, these guys that need it. Like, I know what I'm going to get with Chapman. Like, right now, I know what I'm going to get with Ramos. But, like, continuing to set that tone, take some pressure off the Jung-Hoos of the world, the Tyler Fitzgeralds of the world, right? Like, taking the pressure off those guys so they don't have to do it each and every day.
They won a series and got nothing from their leadoff hitter.
Nothing.
They got nothing from their shortstop offensively. Nope. I mean, although he had a sack
The highest paid player in the history of the organization. Yeah.
You pretty much got one swing out of Wilmer. You know what I mean? Like, it's so I think that they,
not big
that
swing,
they
got big swing.
Not that they got away with one, but I'm saying these are the kind of series they lost 2 out of 3. Easily last year, you know, you'd boot the ball away. Your bullpen would give up something. So look, you got to win series after series after series after series. It's not about an individual game or moment or whatever. I just love the optimism and the brand of ball that I can tell that they're committed to playing. And that to me is a brand of ball that I fully embrace.
And the swagger factor with this team. You mentioned Camilo Duvall getting the save yesterday. Like, if they can get that guy going again after the season that he had last year, it's just massive with Ryan Walker in tandem. And then all of a sudden, you know, we'll just wait and see with Hicks as a starter. But last
Rogers.
Week, with Rogers, obviously. And then Birdsong, we'll see him in the bullpen. He showed some tremendous promise last year as a starter of all things, and they have him in the bullpen so far. And then Lou Trevino, I mentioned him. Bob Melvin has trust in him going back to the A's, A's days in Oakland. Lou Trevino, when they had Blake Treinen, they are a 1-2 punch there. And Lou Trevino, if you need him, yeah, I don't want him to be the closer, but he has had closing capabilities in the past. So it's not like, if you have Duvall that's already has a lot of wear and tear, or Ryan Walker, throw Lou Trevino in there. You can never have too many options. I'm not asking him to be that guy every single game, but you can never have too many options when it comes to the back end of a bullpen. And you got a lot of guys, a lot of high velocity.
Yeah.
Like, that's the they got stuff. I know Lou Trevino has stuff. Camilo Duvall has stuff. Can it get wonky at times? Sure. What bullpen doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
But I know I can trust those guys. If I can have trust in those guys, then it takes everything off Ryan Walker's plate that he doesn't have to do it each and every time out. And by the way, if I'm getting contributions from the top of this this pitching order, if you will, from Webb, from Verlander, from Ray, I know he's a little shaky yesterday towards the end.
But he was dynamic.
But he was dynamic early on.
Yeah. Like,
and back in the last year, he was pretty freaking good, Ray, I'd say. He was pretty good. Coming off Tommy John, I thought he looked pretty good last year. So
we'll talk to Flem this week. He does this thing where he grunts, and I swear, maybe I'm tripping. He grunts really loud on fastballs.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm wondering, like, if somebody gets to him and be like, hey, dude, you maybe want to mix it up with the grunts. Because if the whole place knows that you're grunting really loud, that it's going to be a fastball, I don't know.
I was going to say, are you even paying attention to that if you are a batter? Like, I don't even know if you have time to pay attention to it because he's grunting, but then you're focused on the ball at that point. So I don't even know, like,
Joe, the tiniest
Maria Sharapova.
Okay, for example.
Backhand.
I can watch a kid play with the ball in his glove, and I know here comes one of his off-speed stuff. Like, they're all looking for little ticks
little
and tendencies.
Edges. Okay.
Right? So, I mean, this is how we call it tipping your pitches. Like,
yes.
I'm not saying that's what he's doing. I'm just saying, like, the grunt thing is hilarious. Before we get out of here, I know we got Final Five. Can we do something fun?
What do you want to do that's fun?
I want to
we
do
were
something
fun,
fun
this whole time.
Well, of course we're having fun, but something different fun.
Oh, different, okay, all right, sure.
Did you ever watch Bay Area Backroads back in the day on Cron?
Bay Area Backroads. I can't say I did.
Okay, it was a show where this guy would kind of...
I didn't grow up in San Francisco, though, too. Or Oakland,
all right. So. I think it... Like 2010 or 2015.
I know what show you're talking about.
Yeah, so like they would basically go to like these random spots in the Bay Area that like either have a great view or trail or a place to take the family or whatever. I went somewhere unique and... There's so many parts of the Bay Area I have yet to explore, and I want to give this place love.
Oh, okay. Do we have
Do we have music? I thought we had music for this.
Well, hold on.
Oh, what is this?
This is called Morning Mood.
Do you know
what were we going to call this segment?
Park it right here.
I like that.
Park it here?
So I was looking for a cool kid park.
Parking in rear.
We went to the Lafayette Reservoir. What a cool place. Absolutely gorgeous. I mean, they've got this reservoir.
Tremendous.
And I'm sure that there's tons of wildlife. I saw a ton of birds, saw hawks, crows.
Birdsong.
All kinds of stuff. Birdsong, yes. and it's located. You drive up this hill off of 24 in Lafayette, and greenery everywhere. They've got biking trails, hiking trails. I saw people with kids, people with dogs. And they got the coolest little kid park. And they've got the older kid park, and then they've got the younger kid park, 2 to 5. And my little guy was just absolutely loving it. They got these chimes that you can hit.
Those are fun, yeah.
Dude, it was so cool. He was having a great time. So just shout out Lafayette Reservoir, a place I had never been to in my life. And I got tipped on it by a buddy. And what a really cool place. I will definitely be going back.
I took the kids to the Oakland Museum of California over the weekend.
Oh,
how
was that?
It's one of the great museums. I love taking them there. If you have any kids that are 12 or under, they are free. So you're thinking of spring break this week, take them out there, Oakland Museum of California. It's so fun. They have so many different exhibits. They have stuff for toddlers, stuff for older kids. If you like fine art, if you like local art, a lot of Oakland-based, a lot of California-based art, it's very cool. They have a lot of, you know, animals stuff. They have stuff for the deep sea oceans. Very fun. You learn a lot. You can play. And again, it's very inexpensive on the wallet as we're all trying to, you know, save some change.
Yes.
Here comes tax season, right? We got to owe a lot of money.
Don't even start.
Oakland Museum of California. And they have a lot of different stuff. If you're a student, if you're a teacher, they have all that baked in. Again, 12 and under is free. So
that is so cool.
Spend a couple bucks if you're a dad or a mom. Go out there. Let the kids run around. They have to have a cafe that's built into it, which is fun. Get some food, get some
really?
Grub. Yeah, so it's very fun. So Oakland Museum of California, can't recommend it enough. It is very fun. It's right near Laney College. Yeah, right near Lake Merritt. BART, if you want to take BART, a couple blocks away from the BART station.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle took the little guy over to the Oakland Zoo. We got these Oakland Zoo passes.
Oh, Oakland Zoo's the best.
And they had such a great time.
And next time you guys are thinking about, hey, like, let's do a group.
Yeah,
take Benny, take Nora, we can all go.
I had to stay home because I had to clean out the closet of his room because we donated, I'm not kidding, like 4 bags of clothes. People
good.
Have been very generous since he was born.
Hand-me-downs.
Yeah, I got buckets of clothes and I had to.
It's good.
We had to like taper down.
That's good.
He doesn't fit into a lot of things. And of course, going through the bucket of clothes, like many buckets, Michelle was very particular about what to keep.
Tell Michelle next time she can link up with me. I'll take Benny and Nora. We could all have fun. And Joe Shasky can stay home for Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
And it's time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show. Brought to you by the next generation 10G network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now with you, Shasky.
So my final thought is this. As we go back crazy and everyone's losing their minds, I love this part of the sport. There's so many intricacies people don't even know about. I got a buddy, Brent, who's texting right now. He's a 34-31 guy, meaning he goes 34 inches on the bat, 31 ounces.
Oh,
usually it's drop three. Like, that's typically what people go with.
Okay.
I go all over the place. Sometimes I'm a 32-29. Sometimes I'm a 33-30. I have to swing the bat. I like a slightly end-loaded bat. Sometimes I like it cupped. Sometimes I don't like it cupped. I'm a tinkerer. I'm constantly tinkering for the next big base hit. So I'm a weirdo like that. I know. I just some people can pick up a bat and they go, no, it weighs too much. No, the handle's too thick. No, it's too this, too this. I'm always trying out different stuff.
Speaking of cupping, do you wear a cup still these days when you're doing
on turf? No.
On turf? No.
On dirt? On dirt? Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm playing in the infield. On turf? Absolutely.
These are the things. Hey, don't look at me like that. These are things.
If I'm catching, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I despised wearing a cup because it would grind between your legs.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, in the inner thighs. It did, you know, so. But that's a whole nother thing. And shout out Bilko Bats, who made me a couple of custom bats that are coming again. My boy Bill Carley. Thank you very much, Bilko Bats.
There you go. Sam Lumman, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the frustrations with the Giants at first base. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but at what point do you just break down and see if Anthony Rizzo or Jose Abreu even have anything to offer and just give him a minor league deal or something? But
is Anthony Rizzo really still out there?
Yeah. He might be forced to an early retirement.
Well, I know that.
But
yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I'm not saying it's that desperate yet, but after watching Lamont Wade Jr. go 0 for the weekend, yeah, I'm already kind of thinking about what other options there might be out there if they're not going to go with Bryce Eldridge.
Rizzo scares me a little bit, though, because he started having those long concussion symptoms. Remember that was kind of a thing? And he couldn't really focus.
He doesn't hit bombs anymore.
No, he doesn't, but he can get you on base at least. He'll crowd the plate. He'll get hit a bunch.
Sure.
But again, like dealing with like the concussion aspect of all that kind of makes me a little nervous for a guy that already has durability issues who's 35.
But I also worry about Wilmer every day and Lamont Wade every day being your first baseman DH combo.
Right.
Those are two guys that also get hurt a lot.
Right. He broke his arm last year. I think in the first couple months, he broke his arm in collision in the Red Sox game. So
the pickings are very, very, very slim.
Slim
right
pickings. What's up, Slim Carter? What you got?
I just want to say goodbye and rest in peace to the NCAA tournament. NIL has just killed this tournament, I'll be honest. I bet on every single favorite over the weekend. I did not lose one single bet. I just think that's sad. It's too bad. Didn't
I
lose
won
one.
So much.
So you're sad that what, you won all
that?
Your bets?
I won, but at what cost?
I parlayed all of them
the war
and won that. I parlayed all of them and won that.
No way.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad. I mean, it's the end of
name
really
all player on Florida.
Exactly. I have no idea.
Like, people only do things.
That kid that's 7'9". That's all
it's
I know.
Really,
I
don't know.
Watched the kid. I thought he tore his Achilles on Florida, and only to have him walk back in. He had a hurt ankle.
I'm calling it. It's going to be Florida Duke, by the way, but we still have all week
and
long.
Duke's going to win.
Duke's going to
win.
It's Cooper Flag season, bro. Let's go.
Free money.
I'm all in on Cooper.
That Krzyzewski was so overrated.
Yeah, it's the shoe polish, right?
I'm teasing. He's one of the greatest.
We're up against it. We got to go. Try to do better the next time. Stein and Guer next, and that was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all your devices. And brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.